I want us to lift our hands and thank God things are as good as they are, and they're getting better every day by the grace of God. Father, we thank you. God, we don't want to be a bunch of ingrates, people that are given to entitlement just to think we earned, we owe, we, God, everything we have belongs to you. The air we breathe belongs to you. Everything we have, it's a gift of God. Thank you for giving us the strength to be in church today. And we'll give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' precious name. Well, praise God. I'm sorry to disturb your nap this morning. Oh, thank God, thank God. Well, if you can sit down, you can sit down. Give it a go anyway. Just remind me after a while. Thank you, Lord. Tony Haygood pulled this up the other day in one of our past messages, wrote it out. I said, that's good. He said, you said it, Pastor. God's amazing grace is God's priceless love gift to you. God's amazing grace is God's priceless love gift to you. No charge for that one. Praise God. Amen and amen. Thank you, choir musicians. You know, this church belongs to God, and we honor the Holy Spirit of God. But you know, this church is all they do on Sunday is shout, and they can't stand up on Sunday morning. When the enemy comes in like a flood, then they, you know. I want you to know how to praise God, and I want you to know how to stand on the Word of God, that if hell freezes over, you can stand in the face of the enemy. And give him what for? Give him God's word. Amen. It's been so wisely said, all spirit and you blow up, all word and you dry up. And there's a lot of dried up folks that need some spirit, and a lot of folks that are energized that need the word of God. So let's do both today. Praise God. Let me just say this before you can turn over to Proverbs 1, if you will. This is one of the most exciting times in the history of our church. We're not only on the verge of, but we are entering into, I believe, one of the richest harvest, reaping of harvest that we've ever experienced. We've done a lot of things real right for a long time. And we've seen special seasons come and go. But I really believe, Brother Rodney was talking to me the other night, he said, you know, Pastor, of all the churches we've been to, he said, there's something in Calvary Cathedral. He said, I sense it when we go. And he's so thrilled about what God is doing here. It's more than just coming to church. It's more than just looking nice or whether you know, whatever. It comes back to where we live and what we do. And I'm turning over every leaf in my heart in this ministry. And we're not dead. I'm not dead. If you're dead, we'll carry you out. You know the story. They called 9/11 when someone had a heart attack and died. They had to go 6 rows before they could find. Okay, we'll leave that one alone. But as long as God gives us breath, we're going after the harvest. We're going after the harvest. And we're going after souls. We haven't forgotten about any department, neither the children's, nor the boys and girls, nor the children's ministry, nor the college and career, nor those that are fairly recently married. We're praying and thinking very much along those lines, conquerors love, right on through all of us. And I believe that there's going to be something totally electrifying that's going to touch us with the Spirit of God in every age level, in every department. Amen. Praise be unto God. I was touched last evening before I get in. Now, let me just go ahead and read it. Let's go to Proverbs, the first chapter. I'm not going to take the time to read five chapters, but really what I'm sharing today, it's all of Proverbs. But let me read you a few verses in Proverbs, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Now, track with me, because I've got something to say, and I'm saying it right now. To know wisdom, say it with me, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding and to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man, here's the test right here. A wise man will hear and will increase in learning. You can tell a wise man something, but you can't tell otherwise something. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. He seeks out godly counsel. I have sought godly counsel this last year stronger than I've ever sought godly counsel. And I am surrounded by an army of generals. And I stand with them and they stand with me. I'm not playing games. I'm not just like that boy on his skateboard going down the sidewalk somewhere. Amen. We're seeking to know the path of God and to follow the path of God. Now, here's what Proverbs is all, to know, understanding and wisdom. To understand the proverb, the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I'm selective on who I share my wisdom with. I'm not going to share my wisdom with somebody who rolls their eyes like a teenager that you want to eat broccoli. I've got wisdom inside of me. I've got something people call me from overseas and across America and whatever, and we got folks here that don't think I know anything. Well, that's your problem. God has made massive deposits, and by the way, I've paid for those deposits, both good and bad. I've learned the hard way, and I've learned the God way. The God way is better. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Verse 10, it said, son, if sinners entice thee, just say no. That's the way I finished that verse. All wisdom crieth without. In verse 20, she uttereth her voice in the streets. You know, really, wisdom is everywhere if you'll just look for it. God's wisdom. This house is full of wisdom. In what I say or what I don't say, just being here this morning, whether it's the music or the fellowship, the wisdom of God, just plug into it. It's here. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice even in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse and the openings of the gates in the city. She uttereth her words, saying, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I'll make known my words to you. Said in chapter 2, verse 1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandment with thee. Chapter 3, my son. Seemed like I can hear the voice of R.V. Nichols saying, son, boy. Son, listen, I'm trying to tell you boys something. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Well, what's such a big deal about that for length of days? and long life and peace while you live it. There's people who live a long life, but they're miserable. I'm asking God for extended days because I have extended opportunities. But I want to live in peace. I want to live in the joy. You can live, you can breathe. The prime minister of Israel, unless something's happened, they're pumping through his veins something to keep him alive because that's the way politically certain things, I don't know, I don't have the explanation for all that. Stalin, which there's no comparison between Israel and Stalin, but I mean, with Stalin, I think they're still keeping his body alive, aren't they, at the last I heard. But for length of days and long life and peace, it means you're going to live, have a long life, if Jesus tarries, and you're going to have peace while you live. Let me tell you, peace is worth a fortune. And let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shall you find favor and good understanding in the sight of God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. Oh, one of my favorite portions of God's word. In all thy ways acknowledge him, yada him, know him and make him known is what that means. Know him and make him known and he will direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. I had a person that was financially well off that said, you know, all this teaching you folks do about prosperity and wealth and so on. He said, I don't need that. I said, one day you will. I'm going to tell you, friend, you can lose it as quick as you can get it. Or not enjoy what you've got. It can become a curse instead of a blessing. Thank God everything we have is a blessing. Amen. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. I'm in the third chapter, verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. And the Bible has already told us wisdom is the principal thing. It's the most important, godly wisdom, the wisdom of God. My. Length of days, verse 16, is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that hold on to her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. My. Chapter 4, hear ye, son, daughter, hear, listen up. What the Bible is all about, God's speaking to all of us. God is speaking to all of us. He's speaking to pastors. He's speaking to every one of us, regardless of our age. Hear, you children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. Oh, my. It just rolls right on. Let's read two or three more verses, and then let's get to what I feel like God has to share. Let's go to verse 5 of chapter 4. Get wisdom. Get understanding. It's raining outside. Get your umbrella. You're going to ski country. Get you some ski underwear. Don't do what Pastor Bob does. Go up on the slope with corduroy pants. You can laugh, but I did it with my brother-in-law, Dwight Thompson, and Rex Thompson. We saw them going up and down that hill, and we said, we water ski. That's no hill for a climber. So we went over and eavesdropped on a ski school and then rented some skis and went up the mountain. Like to killed ourselves for 3 days. We didn't think we needed any instruction, but we did. And you know, that's where the average believer needs to listen up today. You know, about the time you think you don't need to learn anything else. Folks, we need to learn something every day, every day, every day. You've never seen a pair of corduroy pants so shredded? My legs were so cold, oh dear Lord. Wearing an overcoat on the ski slope. You talk about three dorks, man. We skiing. So finally, after 3 days, we put our coins together and said, we better get some instruction here. And the instructor said, well, how long you guys been skiing? We said, 3 days. Oh, he said, you ought to have it down pretty well. He said, I'll tell you what, I'll ski up, go around the curve here, and you ski up to me, and we'll see what we need to work on. So he skis up several chairs in front of us, skis around the snowbank there. Dear God. Oh, Dwight starts skiing, and he skis into a snowbank there. I start skiing, and I crash before I get there. I could just see the instructor. I couldn't hear what he was saying, thankfully. Finally, Rex, he was the more athletic of all three of us, and so Rex was keeping a pretty straight line. He didn't know how to stop, but so Rex got off. I mean, what he didn't see, every one of us lost our skis when we got off the lift. You know that? I mean, we all were in the snow and had to find our skis and our poles and all that. And so anyway, so we all get up, and when he sees us, you know, we look fairly good at the moment because we'd got us some ski britches by that time. You know, we looked a little more like skiers. But anyway, Rex is skiing toward him. He said, fine, Rex, he said, ski to me and stop. And Rex said, I can't, pow, and took the instructor down. Oh, my. It wasn't funny then. He didn't think it was so funny either. You guys been skiing 3 days, and we've been falling for 3 days. You know, the sad thing about that's where a lot of believers live in the kingdom of God. They're born again, but man, it's just one disaster after another. I saw for a little while last night, and I really admire the young man, Bobby Shuler. He's 31 years old, and now he is the one who is the pastor of the Crystal Cathedral. Of course, as you know, Dr. Robert Shuler founded that, and then his son was there for a 6-year period of time, but this is the grandson. And I've watched him in little bits and pieces. He preaches a good gospel. He preaches born again. And I believe he's going to make it. I believe good things are going to happen. I know Dr. Shearer's going through some very trying things. And they asked people to send him an offering. Well, I sent him an offering. And someone said, well, why'd you do that? I said, because I'm going to get old one day. Anyway, Bobby Shuler, 31 years old. One of his points in his message last night, he said, God is calling us to be a different kind of person before he can entrust us with a different kind of anointing. I want to read that one more time. That's like trying to go to high school when you're not out of grade school yet. God is calling you, me, us, to be a different kind of person before he can entrust us with a different kind of calling. Preparation precedes manifestation. And one thing is a stepping stone for the next. Amen. And I believe that's such a strong word. Because as last year, some folks I was trying to help, and I don't have time to chase ambulances like I used to. And I don't mean that unkind, but I mean, you know, there's just so many hours in the day for what you do. But, you know, in trying to help people, they just kept falling in the same. You couldn't get them untracked. You get people on their feet, and it's just who gets to them next. They come back to you, who you been with, who'd you talk to, you know. But I was praying about that. I said, God, what's the deal when people that have education, they're smart, good, you know, they're sharp people, but they don't pick up on what's being said in the Word of God. Folks, change is the name of the game. You don't hang out in the blessing arena if you're not willing to change. Every time this church has taken a quantum leap, we had to take a tremendous risk. In fact, in 93, some people said, that's going to ruin your church. I said, if it ruins it, we'll clear it out and we'll start all over again. We needed change at the time. We desperately cried out for a spirit of revival, and that was after the elections in 93. I felt like I died on the inside, and my death feeling proved true when the White House was sorely desecrated by immorality. Folks, Jesus is coming soon. And whenever you think he's coming or I think he's coming, he's one day closer today than he's ever been. And the Bible did say over and over, I don't know where these young bucks get their crazy doctrine. That's why I say, well, you're old school. Yeah, you might be right, I'm old school. I'm Bible school. I'm old in New Testament. I'm saved by grace. But you're looking at a preacher that believes the Word of God. And I don't have to open a magazine to find out what I believe every month. And I don't have to preach flaky doctrine. If it wasn't for the grace of God, there'd be some people taken out. There's so-called charismatic preachers say there is no such thing as a heaven. No such thing as a hell. No such thing as consequences for sin. What tree did you fall out of? Amen. In the beginning, God. God created all things. And thank God he's still God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm not mad. But God said the problem is they don't seek wisdom. They don't receive wisdom. My father was a very wise man. He was not only an attorney, but Dad came from a farm in Seymour, Texas, worked two or three jobs, and worked his way through Baylor and Baylor Law School. Dad came up the hard way. And I remember something Dad used to say quite often when some achievement or a good case would come through or whatever. And I was just about ready to leave home before things got real good. My other two brothers, they got in on the gravy, but I got married the year before everybody went to Hawaii. But guess who's been to Hawaii 15 times since then? Was to preach. Well, I'm using the gift God gave me. It's my gift that got me to Hawaii. Somebody heard me and said, all right, let's move on here. But it's wisdom. Wisdom. Listen, son. I can hear Dad say, pretty good for a country boy. Pretty good for a country boy. When we had the first new car on the street. Pretty good for a country boy. Little Chevy. How all five of us got to Colorado with luggage, I don't know. I saw one like that the other day. I don't guess we carried anything with us, did we, back then? I don't know. But here's what I'm saying. And the Spirit of God speaks to me in this way. God said, son, listen. Listen up. Attend to my word. Seek out my word. And the answer to everything in your life, I love the whole Bible, but I've rediscovered Proverbs. The answer to everything in your life, from telling the truth to being honest, to handling your money, to living morally clean. I mean, it's all right here in Proverbs. And it's all through Proverbs, but especially chapters 1 through 5. You see, God is ultimate wisdom. Nobody wiser than God. He is wisdom. And if we could just fast forward here, God is wisdom, but God gave David wisdom. You said David messed up. Do we want to have a lifting of hands here today on none of us who have ever missed it? If I could flash all of our lives on a screen, we'd make several exit doors that are not available right now. God, who is wisdom, in spite of David's sin, he repented of his sin, and God called him a man after his own heart. You can't change that. I can't change. Don't want to change it. What was it that God appreciated so much about David? My mother, who was a great Bible teacher, she said, son, remember this. Even Solomon messed up and got into idols and wives that brought in strange stuff into his life. But David was never guilty of the sin of idolatry. He never worshiped anything except the Lord God. He missed it, sinned, failed, but he was never charged by God without, go through the Bible. I mean, revival, great outpouring of the Spirit of God, then they turned to idols. It's just over and over and over again from Genesis right on through Revelation. God forgives, God gives them a new start, and here they go. I mean, and here come idols again. And some crazy thing comes along. God is ultimate wisdom. God gave that ultimate wisdom to David. And you say Solomon was really a smart guy. I'll tell you who the smart guy was, his father. Because he said, my father. It trickles down. Oh, a careful man I want to be. A little fella follows me. Ne'er once can I escape his eye. Whate'er he sees me do, he tries. And I don't remember the rest of that, but I remember my pastor quoting that so many times. A careful man I want to be. Well, I haven't been careful. Start today. It's what these altar calls are all about. That's what preaching's all about. If you've missed it, hey, you came to the right place. Get right with God and take the nail-scarred hand of Jesus and start walking like more than a conqueror. No condemnation here. If you've had an abortion, you realize 55 million abortions have taken place in the United States of America. And I appreciate some folks that picked up on what I said. You can write me off as hard as concrete. We weep over 26 children that were slain with guns. Guns didn't do it. People did it. You can do it with a butcher knife if you have time to work at it. But what about 55 million babies in the womb? America must wake up. But we're not here to condemn. If you've had an abortion, we've had a lady in the church one time that had 8 abortions. And she suffered. She couldn't sleep at night. And God set her free. Got her in the 8th chapter of Romans, because that's where we live. We're not in a chapter of condemnation. We're simply saying there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. But I'm saying to others, don't do it. Don't let yourself get caught in that. Don't let yourself get... 26, 55 million. Even being educated in the Fort Worth public school system, I'm smarter than that. Can you see a difference there? 55 million. Okay, that's not the message, but I'm going to keep on honking. If churches and preachers don't wake up, we've got to tell it stronger than we've ever told it before. We must tell the truth, and we must challenge us to live the truth. God Almighty's wisdom. God imparts wisdom to David. He messed up, but thank God he made up and he turned his heart to God. Now, David imparts to Solomon. And really, we ought to see the Proverbs and the Song of Solomon and the writings of Solomon. You see a book, it's written by so-and-so with the help of so-and-so. It was a wise father, my father. You know, even in churches today, I know it's Pastor this, Pastor Bucket, Pastor Doorknob, Pastor Mop. I go into places, I don't know who the real pastor is. I still believe that God calls pastors to churches. And God gives anointing to those. And he gives people to help us. But I go places, I'm kind of confused. Is Pastor Broom, Pastor Mop, Pastor... Anyway, we'll leave that one alone. But God appoints a shepherd, a pastor, a man of God. And if that man of God says something to... I mean, you know, the majority of what people say to me is what they've already got their mind made up to do. It's happened 3 or 4 times while I was gone this week. People make up their mind on something that's a major deal and never say a word. We need to think about our lives. We need to go to the Word of God. I'll tell you what, if you'll go to the Word will get you straight. Amen. We need godly New Testament pastors as we've never needed godly New Testament pastors. We need more than flat screens. We need more than remote locations. We need to be, you need to get up and dust yourself off and sit next to somebody who needs the same grace you need and experience the company of the grace of God. Amen. Heard the pastor of First Baptist over in Dallas exhort briefly on that on the way to church the other night. I thought, well, man, he's been listening to my tapes. Praise God. Dr. Jeffers is a very brilliant man doing a great work for God. Let me give you 4 points. I've got to jump into it. God Almighty is ultimate wisdom, okay? God is ultimate wisdom. God is the, number two, God is the giver of all true wisdom. God is the giver of all true wisdom. If any man lack, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. That's James chapter 1, verse 5. God Almighty is ultimate wisdom. God is the giver of wisdom. And thirdly, we see these outlets for what we're talking about. How do we receive the wisdom of God? I think number one way is our previous experiences, both good and bad. I've learned from experience. Some people never learn. There's some things I'll never spend again. I'll never buy again. There's certain types of personalities and people that I watch more closely than I used to because I'm purposed to learn from what I've experienced. I've blown it, and I've also had wisdom, and wisdom is better. I'm not as gullible as I used to be. In fact, I try not to be gullible at all. But through previous experiences, learn from your previous experiences. There are those who learn and those who never learn. There's the wise and the otherwise. Learn from previous experiences. Number one, then we learn through God's Word. That's why God gave us His Word. It's important. Precious brother sitting toward the back there, when I walked in, I stopped just a moment. He said, you know, he said, the Bible reads good at home, but he said, my Bible reads better in church. Thank you, brother. He's waving his hand back. Is that the way you said it? Yeah. My Bible reads better in church. That's what he said. So that gave me another point here. Praise God. We learn through the Word of God. Now, as a for instance, let me show you. The other day, you know, I still have to battle fear every once in a while. And I was borderline on something that seemed like there was no answer to it. There was no way out. There was no way through. And with as many years as I've pastored, there's still situations and people and circumstances that will baffle you. And with all the playbook that you have of experience, you don't know what to do right now. I don't suggest just opening your Bible and sticking your finger on it. They call it the kaplunket, you know, way of doing it. Because I heard the story long ago about a man that opened his Bible needing wisdom and said, Judas went out and hanged himself. And so he opened his Bible again and said, go out and do thou likewise. I heard that. I don't know. But it, you know, you, 2 and 2 makes 4 there. But you know, I opened my Bible, and you know what my Bible screamed? I mean, it's right there. I'd already yellow, underlined it, red penciled it. Fear not! Very thing I'm thinking about, the very thing I'm battling. And I opened the book that I've preached and taught from. And it says, fear not. Now let me tell you what a smart boy did. A smart boy said, I heard the Father.
I heard the Father say, listen up, son. Fear not. Yes, sir. Be pretty stupid to close my Bible and say, I'm so afraid. The Bible said, fear not. One day I was fretting about some things and I opened my Bible. It doesn't always happen this way, but it said, fret not thyself. Woo! Read my mail. Don't fret yourself. Stop it. Don't do it. Does that emotion or that thought help you, bless you, strengthen you, make your day? Or does it push you down, down, down? Drop it like you drop a hot skillet. Oh, the word's so full. It said even your health and your healing, length of days. I'm into vitamins. I don't make any excuse about it. Someone laughed. They looked at my fridge the other day. Man, I got one to start and one to stop. One to go to 30,000 feet, one to go to 40,000 feet. You know what I mean. Amen. I'm into eating as best I can, when I can, and I'm into good vitamins. But I'm going to tell you, God's Word is the best vitamin that you'll ever take. It will give you good health, long life, and give you peace of mind while you're living. Peace of mind. You can live and be miserable. And I know there are people here that may be okay financially. I know there are people here that are okay financially. And there's some of you that you have to get a check from somewhere every month. I mean, different people are on different levels. But I'm telling you, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and watch God start changing your circumstances. We learn from the Word. There's wisdom in the Word. It tells us to be quiet. It tells us to honor God with our first fruits. The old timers understand this. Those that don't want to understand it just don't understand. Joe and I tithe in faith believing. We give offerings in faith believing. Growing up in church, they used to have prove me offerings. And I can still hear the evangelists as well as our pastors say, well, we're going to receive a prove me offering this morning. It's not on what you've made. It's not on what you guaranteed you know you're going to make. It's the first fruits. We had a couple, even on this property, a couple that came to us, been in the church for a long time. And they said, we're starting in a new business. And here's a $1,500 check. We haven't made a dime yet, but we are going to give this as first fruits. It's not a field that you've already reaped. It's not a check you've already made. It's not your tithe. Tithe is 10%. At least that's the way my Bible reads, before, during, and after the law. But what it is, it's approving God. And God's payday is not always first and 15. Well, I tried that and it didn't work. Oh, tell me that about tithing then. Do you tithe? And you know, there's some folks around here, God's dealing. How can you sit under this ministry all these years and still not tithe? You don't tithe when you tip. You don't tithe when you just get. I appreciate anything comes through the offering plates. I really do. I'm not here for. But let me tell you, you don't sit around and hear the word preached and not do it without something getting out of adjustment in your life. That's the way my Bible reads. Praise God. That's the way the Amplified reads. That's the way all the other translations read. So we learn through previous experiences. I've got to hurry up. We learn through the Word of God. When God's Word says don't do something, don't do it. And I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but those that know me well know this, and we did once. We took one tour to Egypt on our Israel tour. And our tour guide has tried everywhere in the world to encourage me because, you know, it's a nice place. They say it hasn't been so good lately. But I read in my Bible, don't go down to Egypt. Now, don't get your feelings hurt if you're from Egypt this morning. I'm not speaking against you. But that's just a word that I heard.
If God told me to go to Egypt, I would. I'd go in a New York minute if God told me to go. But just to make that part of the tour, honey. Israel's what's on my heart. And there's some other places too. But, you know, how many times do you read in the old... Oh, I'm in trouble already with some of you legalists. I mean, that's just me, okay? Praise God. Okay, moving on. That has nothing to do with the message. Yeah, it does, I guess. You can do it if you want to. No condemnation. We learn through the Word of God. We learn about idle time. Watch your idle time. David was on the housetop when he should have been out fighting a battle. I'm going to have another 15, 20 minutes here this morning. David was on the housetop when he should have been out fighting a battle. And he saw a naked woman taking a bath. And it doesn't take much to get a man stirred up anyway. And the next thing you know, it's not only adultery, but it's murder. And everything else comes into it. He said, well, David repented. He paid for it. He paid for it. No condemnation. I'm just here as an errand boy here this morning. But David will tell you that was the wrong place to be in. When you can't, I was buying gas the other day, flashing something on a flat screen TV. I turned my head. I mean, sin's everywhere. You can't help but see, you can't buy groceries without seeing sin on the rack. And God forbid on your television or whatever.
Hey, Mabel, come here and look at this. I just can't believe they put this kind of thing on TV.
Well, stop looking, Elmer. You don't speak Spanish anyway. Oh, moving along, yeah. Some strange stuff out there. Dirty old men and beautiful chicks. I don't know. My God. All right, we learn. Just as I am without. All right. Come on now, behave. I got to finish this message. Through previous experiences. By the way, you got a new pastor this morning. Bob Nichols couldn't make it, so I showed up. We learn through the Word of God. And when God's Word says don't do something, don't do it. We learn through our parents. Unfortunately, some people don't have parents that they learn from. But you know, we have people in this church, I've watched them over a period of time, honor their parents. Amen? Honor what you can honor. Send them a card when you can send them a card. Amen? My son, my daughter, we learn through our parents. Honor your parents. It's a promise with a long life. We learn through the inward witness. You know, God's put something in all of us that told you don't say that. Don't listen to that gossip. Just don't listen to them. No, you didn't respond to it, but you did. You listened. There's an inward witness that says, don't buy that. Don't put that on your credit card. It's so easy. Why are you so quiet? Amen. Give you a chance for a Selah there. We learn through the inward witness. God telling us what to do and what not to do. We learn through previous experiences, through the Word, through anointed pastors and teachers. We learn through our parents. We learn through the inward witness. Really, wisdom is all around us if we'll just listen. Yeah, you need to read your Bible, but you know,
When you're born again, the Spirit of God in you, He'll talk to you. You'll get a heaviness when you start doing or saying, or, you know, there's people I've had to leave, quote, ministerial friendships when the spirit of revival hit our house downtown. But how can you lose a friend you never had? I want faith friends. I want hungry friends. And you know what I discovered? You find a flaky person, they've been hanging out with flaky people. Amen. There comes a time you got to believe in God. You got to believe in Jesus. If you're attending here, you need to believe your pastor. And you need to commit your life to God. Because the Bible says, listen, son. Son, listen. I hear Dad. I hear my father, R.V. Nichols, say, son, listen to me. Seemed like he had to say that more to me than he did to Ralph and Paul. But I think back on the wisdom of my father. Strong Baptist deacon. Precious man of God. A man of character. A man of integrity. A man that federal judge Leo Brewster, who's deceased now, said if R.V. Nichols told me the moon was shining at high noon, I wouldn't bother to go out and check on it. The moon just started shining. Oh, Lord, I don't know of an attorney here this morning. He said, he's the only attorney that's never lied to me. I have a godly heritage. Was he perfect? No, Dad. Dad had his humanity. And my mother, she took the fun out of sin. Oh, Jesus. Oh. Ooh. I've been in the middle of doing something wrong, and I thought about Mama, and he just took all the fun out of it. Church, what I want to say today, listen. Listen. Listen to a voice of wisdom. Oh, I cry for the wisdom of God. I cry for the wisdom of God. I go to the newspapers. Just read the first page is all you need to read. And I meant to bring it with me. The young man, in fact, his father was in a service here just recently who took his mother and sister and whoever out. And he said, I got the idea of taking my family out while watching a horror movie. Was it a Halloween movie or a horror movie? Well, our little darling, your little darling's got flesh like anybody else. Nobody's got a perfect kid in this house, mine included, grandchildren, great-grands. We're all human. We need God. And then I opened the front page, and of all people, well, I won't call his name, but somebody's been doing some things he shouldn't be doing. But half of that newspaper is an advertisement for beer and wine and strong drink. When are we going to wake up? What do you drink so we can go to the back room together? I'm talking adult talk here for just half a second. You see, front page, young man sees movies. The kind I see, you can't help but it's to the left, to the right as you fly. I don't watch those kind of movies. People are so distracted. Joe and I went to a restaurant. I'm talking about, folks, we've got to get back to reality. I'm not Stone Age. I'm not a caveman. I'm a realist. But we sat down in our booth, Joe and I. This couple comes in, just early 20-ish, got a little baby. She sits on one side of the booth. He sits on the other. She puts the baby down. No problem with that. They never said a word for almost 20 minutes. They didn't say a word to you. I thought, my God, have mercy. They've got a baby at home. They got a chance to get out and get a date. They weren't looking at each other. They didn't put the things up until the food came. Excuse me, maybe I'm warped. Something's wrong with that picture.
We can't even talk. I see families sit down together and everybody's, it didn't take you 5 minutes to figure out who's been calling you. I'm for all of that. That's fine. But I mean, to sit there and go into another world with a car. Folks, we've got to rediscover God, and we've got to rediscover one another. We've got to rediscover taking time to praise and worship God. Joy, is that the truth? Did I tell the truth? And finally, even Joy looked, she said, and I said, I know, honey. No, really, my heart went out. Because in the booth behind us was a mother explaining to a 10 or 12-year-old who had been over to girlfriend's house, honey, I'm so sorry to tell you that your television in your room is not working. It's out. And the little girl was very unhappy about her television. In her room, door closed. Maybe you're in the wrong church. I don't know. Maybe you're. I'm just saying, parents, we need to wake up. Hollywood is out to send you to hell. Hollywood is out to send your kids to hell. Hollywood is not your friend. I know I'd have been better off to have left it alone, but what am I saying? Mine's out in the car. We were in a very sacred time 2 years ago with Benny Hinn over in Dallas with some ministers. I mean, it was a time when the precious Holy Spirit was moving. It was kind of a breakfast time. We were praying together. And so help me God, 5 different cell phones of preachers went off over a period of time. I wanted to just punch them out. I thought, your life is so important, you can't come into a room where the Holy Ghost is moving. And we all have accidents. I've had my accidents with mine. I was in a funeral over at Broadway one day, and I forgot the thing was in my pocket. That can happen. I know that. But I'm talking about a habit, making it a habit. Folks, there's got to be more. Rediscover your husband. If you give your husband half as much attention as you give that cell phone, you might have some more sparks at home. You give your wife half as much attention as you're giving that little cell phone, you might have a... It's not in the notes. God is calling you, me, us to be a different kind of person. Before. You don't have to be. But before He can entrust us with a different kind of calling. Boy. That is one of the, I don't know where that came from, if it's original with our dear brother or not, but I ran, found a pen, and that's the only thing I remembered him saying. God is calling us to be a different kind of person before He can entrust us with a different kind of calling. Don't all of us want to be used of God in a greater way? Don't we all want more of God? Don't we all, wouldn't we love to have a greater a manifestation of healing or blessing or financial blessing. I mean, we're all in the blessing column, aren't we? We're not a house full of negative folks. We're positive faith people. But God's saying, I want a different you so I can trust you in a greater way than I've ever trusted you before. Oh, hallelujah. Well, I'm not through. Thank you, sir. Thank you. It came from my heart and it came from God. Son, daughter, listen. Honor this book. Every once in a while it slips by me. Even friends of mine, I mean, everybody's using these electronic. That's okay. That's not a problem. I have notes before me and so on. But I want you to come to this pulpit with this in hand so people won't forget. It's not Dell we're worshiping, or it's not. It's the Word of God that we love, that we revere. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light. I'm not being silly, really. I'm not playing on words, folks. This is a word church. This is a word church. I'm a word preacher. Really, basically, except from my little personal experiences, everything I've given you today is from the Word of God. And you'll be better off by listening to it. And you'll profit financially, physically, mentally, emotionally, in every way. You'll be blessed. Praise be unto God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. We have a precious